Hey, welcome to In Plain Sight on Republic Broadcasting Network. Jeremy here. And please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, and you know what to do. Send that beautiful fundage to keep free speech alive. Your check and money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Make sure you give a little bit or a lot, whatever your budget can afford. And I want to thank all my wonderful donators that has helped me get the transmission going in my current truck. That's on the Rebuild the Dodge GoFundMe on my profile on the host section. If you click up in the upper left-hand corner, you can see the schedule, host schedule, and it gives a profile of the host if you're not familiar. And my GoFundMe is on there. The Cash App is on there. Or you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com. That's on there if you want to send fundage via regular mail. I've had some people do that. Thank you to everyone that's donated. Make sure you give to the station first, because without the station, we wouldn't have all the great shows that we have. So we got a lot in the news. I listened to my show last week because I had a very interesting conversation with a very good friend of mine about all of this. He's a young man, early to mid-20s, and he's just coming up to speed on all of this. He's very fascinated with artificial intelligence. He's very fascinated with the way things are going, and he was seeing it as a good thing, merging, you know, into transhumanism. We had a very lengthy discussion, I mean, hours here and there. And, you know, last night he was asking me about the whole history of why the Israeli-Palestinian thing is happening. We got really in depth, and I told him to listen to my show from last week. So I went ahead and went back after I talked to him, and I listened to last Monday's show. It was decent. I feel like maybe I've got a decent hold on what's going on. I don't want to just keep going on and on with it, because it seems like it's dragging out. And so many other hosts have said so many great things on it. So I thought I would go a different route tonight. And we'll discuss sort of the way things are going with AI and with this new system that is emerging that, you know, has become... It's become like visible since COVID, but it's been there for a while. I also want to discuss fall, you know, my favorite time of the year, October, my favorite month. Discuss some movies. I don't do Halloween. That's against my Christian beliefs. If you're a Christian and you do, I'm not harping on you. There's just a lot of stuff about Halloween that doesn't jive with Christianity and the Bible. You get into the roots of All Hallows Eve. You know, this is traditionally the time that historically, and in the Bible actually, that creation happened in the late fall, going into what we would call November. And, you know, it began evening and morning with the first day. It began with evening, and that is what historical Israel in the Old Testament, you know, their days began at evening. And this was the time of newness and creation. And so some of the early beliefs before you got into the commercial aspects of Halloween was they believed that this was the time when the veil was the thinnest between the supernatural and the natural world, and that spirits would roam the earth, and you would put out your jack-o'-lantern to show them that you were friendly to them, so that they wouldn't. And maybe you would even offer the spirits like gifts and offerings to them. This is the handing out of candy, where that came from. A lot of you are probably very knowledgeable on this, maybe even more so than myself. But that's the reason I don't necessarily celebrate it, but I do celebrate fall. I love October. And the changing of the weather and the leaves the warm days and cold nights, the ash sky, like we had, I think, over the whole weekend here in Kentucky and a lot of this area, we had an ash gray sky, and the red, the fiery red and yellow leaves were a beautiful contrast to that. And so it reminds me of God's beautiful creation and how change is inevitable, and things grow old and die. People grow old and die. And there's this brief moment of childhood that you want to kind of hang on to and always remember. And everybody has their own favorite childhood memories, whether it be things that you did or movies that you watched or music that you listened to, which is why I've got this sweet tooth for the 80s music. Reminds me of being 8, 9, 10 years old. So I celebrate that, and I really like this time of year. I don't carve the pumpkin. I set a pumpkin out, and for about a week or a week and a half, and then I'm going to take it and preserve the seeds to the pumpkins. The seeds are really good for you. You can roast them, and provide a lot of health benefits. And the pumpkin I'll just treat like a sweet potato and boil it, and then bake it with honey and cinnamon. And it's a nice little meal. I don't want to waste anything. Bales of straw I don't use for decoration. Those are for my dogs. I have 4 dogs outside, and I just picked up a bale of straw, a fresh one, so that they'll have warm bedding in their big, huge doghouse. It also has heat lamps in there for when it gets really cold. They're outside dogs, but they're treated really well, and they love to get out and hunt and wallow and dig and root out in the field in the back. So that's sort of how I celebrate this. But we'll sort of get into that. If you want to call in, please weigh in. Maybe give me your favorite fall memories, maybe your favorite childhood movies or songs. And if you want to talk about political stuff, that's on the table. I'll be glad to do that. I'm just kind of burnt out on it as far as like running through the news. I feel like I've done that for the last, what, have I done this show for 3 years? I've been on the show for 3 years now. It's been about 3 years this month, this week, that I started. And especially the last 3 or 4 Monday nights, I've really tried to do in-depth analysis. And I know Patrick and I will do some stuff tomorrow, so we'll get deep into political stuff if that's your cup of tea. You know, we've got the usual stuff going on here. The shooter from Maine found him, you know, they found him suicided in one of the places he worked on Friday. So he's dead. I mean, if it ever was a thing, so of course he can't be questioned. You know, nothing can be found out about what really was the deal. It's all up to what they're going to tell us now. We've also in September, you know, about a month before all of this, the Office of Gun Violence Prevention was established here. Historic actions by Biden, the Biden administration, to end gun violence in our country. The Bipartisan Safer Communities Act was signed, deemed as the most significant legislative action in nearly 30 years. Taking more meaningful executive action. And that's all it is, executive action right now. Different states have so many very liberal gun carrying laws, like Kentucky. You can open carry. You don't need a permit to conceal. Pretty much you just get a gun if you want it. I mean, of course, there's the law that felons can't purchase a gun, but like there's no law that says you can't sell a gun to the neighbor, or you know, you don't have to do a background check on them. All of these are good things. Everybody should be allowed to carry a gun. If you're a violent criminal, then you should be put to death. That should be just taken out of the equation. You know, the people's rights to carry firearms should not be infringed upon whatsoever. And of course, the purpose for the Second Amendment is to keep the government in check. It might be a little late for that now, but you know, even using them for self-defense or collections or whatever, these are all valid too. But the reason that they're coming down so hard and they're doing these false flags like the Maine shooter and all of the school shootings is they do want to try to force these red flag laws. That's the purpose of it. It's not a gun grab per se. It kind of is. it's just anybody that is out there in their views that have views against the system, that maybe have right wing pro white views, could be reported by relatives. And if you receive any kind of psychiatric treatment, that's red flag. Then they can stop you from legally purchasing guns. Of course, they're not going to stop people from buying guns, especially in states that don't have stringent laws on that. So it really is all of a big dog and pony show, but they are trying, they are pushing. I mentioned AI and some of the movies I might get into on the other side of the break, but one that I watched just over the weekend, I'd never seen it before, was 2001 A Space Odyssey. Came out in 68. It was based on a novel. And let's see, who was the director of that? Stanley Kubrick. Yes, he is Jesh. He's very, very Jesh. He also did The Shining movie, based on the Stephen King novel, The Shining. Both very fascinating movies. I do watch some horror movies. I'm very picky on movies that I watch. They've got to be very well done and intelligent. I don't want to be bombarded with special effects like all the new ones. It just, all the CGI just is overwhelming and it's unrealistic. It's just too much. The Shining was a very realistic horror film that I thought was well done. And, it starts off with the family in the hotel and Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall and the kid's name was Danny, I believe. And you kind of get to know this family. You feel like you're a part of them. It's very slow, going in and you're actually thinking, wow, this would be nice to stay in this big hotel all winter with your family, get some family time, stay in a different room every month, and eat all of the hotel food and kind of take care of it. Sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? And then it just turns like totally evil. The kid's got psychic powers, so his presence there awakens some kind of whatever the dark spiritual presence was in that hotel, the guy that axed his daughters and family. And so the kid's psychic powers kind of triggers like all of this happening with the dad, played by Jack Nicholson, who eventually goes crazy and comes after them with an axe. And even the kid and the mother, played by Shelley Duvall, start seeing these things. Very weird. 2001 A Space Odyssey was similar to that. It starts off with it. So some of the themes of the Space Odyssey, which I totally disagree with, but I found fascinating to watch. They pushed evolution, of course. It was all about the evolution of mankind to the next level, to the level beyond human. And that's where you get into your AI. You have Hal, the AI computer, right? Who, if you read on to the next book, 2010, which was in the 80s, Hal eventually, his consciousness, if you will, is transferred into some sort of a new being, along with one of the astronauts from 2001. He's transformed at the end of the movie into the Star Child. So the whole theme that they're pushing, even back in the 60s, was this transhumanism, this thing where, because, the movie starts off with the apes find this alien obelisk and it gives them instruction on telepathically on how to advance to the next level of making tools and killing and dominating each other through warfare. And so then it flashes forward to the year 2001 where humans have conquered at least the solar system. They're exploring other planets in the solar system around Earth, mainly Saturn and the moons around it. But that's the push of the whole movie. That's kind of what prompted me to watch it, was this discussion with my friend on AI and how people are actually going for this. And so the system that's pushed down on us, that's being introduced to us, and they were starting it way back in the mid and late 20th century. You think of all the movies after that, like Terminator, and there was this movie about in the early aughts about a family that their kid died and they ordered an artificial intelligent robot that was to replace their child. It was a little boy. I think Haley Joel Osment played that. That was weird. So they've been really prepping us for this with Hollywood. and then the smartphones come out. So this, what they're pushing on us, this transhumanism, smart cities, inserting things in your body in order to function in society, just like COVID, it's not going to be forced at first. COVID wasn't necessarily forced. Coercion, yes. You may lose your job. You may lose access to movie theaters, airplanes, and all of the niceties of, you know, modernity. But it wasn't necessarily forced. Now, in Australia and in parts of the UK, yeah, there were some, you know, police arresting people not wearing masks. But I'm talking about the overall thing, especially here in the West. It was something that you had to volunteer to do in order to be part of society. Think about the smartphone. How many of you guys and me, I never said it, but I never thought I would have a smartphone 15 years ago. I just thought it was a waste of time. People just played games on it. But then I figured out that I could use it, you know, in my self-employment, do research. It became a necessity in life, didn't it? It was not something that they forced on you. It's something that people demanded. They demanded the smartphone. And so I think that's the direction that they're going with this AI, transhumanism, chip in the head stuff, vaccines. Also, it's going to be something where that they'll say, well, look, you want to participate in modern society. You want to be able to maintain money and see your relatives and take part of all this, then this is something you got to be a part of. You got to put this in your body. That's the whole infrastructure that COVID built. And they'll just weed out people like me, and hopefully a lot of you all listening, that just refuse to do it. And eventually, I mean, we'll be Luddites, basically, go the way of the Amish. And when enough people, you know, when they get critical mass of enough people participating in the system, then it'll be easy just to push the Luddites to the side and relegate them off to, you know, just irrelevance, relegate them off to irrelevance. And who knows, maybe when there's very few of us, they'll come after us. That's a pretty scary scenario I just built, wasn't it? But I don't see how it's going any other way. They'll just keep on and keep on with this technology, and you'll have to choose to basically formulate your own life and your own community outside of this system. Now, that's what I'm observing and what I explained to my friend, just from a secular point of view. From a biblical point of view, it's all Mark of the Beast, Beast Empire, and New Babylon stuff. And that's how they're going to coerce people into that. And thus, a delusion will be sent that's so strong that most people will fall for it. So we're coming up on the break now, and we have a couple of callers. So I want to go to the calls to comment on my opening monologue. So we'll be back on the other side with your calls and more on In Plain Sight.
Night falls and I'm alone. Skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Coming back to your Monday night broadcast of Inflamed Sight, got a couple of calls of Scott in Arizona and Mike in Kentucky. Let's go ahead and go to the phones to comment on what we're discussing so far. Scott in Arizona, welcome to the show. What do you have?
Well, October 31st is Reformation Day, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg Church.
Yeah, that's fascinating. A lot of people don't know that, and some of my friends, close friends that are Christians, are Reformed Baptists, and they celebrate Reformation instead of Halloween. And something fascinating about that, you know, Luther was never, he meant for his message to strictly go to the papacy and the sophisticated, it was in Latin, you know, and his followers got a hold of the what he posted, because you had the printing press coming about, and they printed it out in German where the average person can read it, and that sort of sparked the whole Protestant revolution.
Yeah, it changed history, that's for sure. And then they had that that big battle in, what was that town in Germany where those were masters at? Lesser politicians stood up against the bigger politicians, and they had a battle that lasted. 4,000 died on the attackers, and the defenders of Christianity, 400 died. That slipped my mind, a senior moment of what that town was. But, you know, all these churches celebrate Halloween, but they don't, no mention of anything of the religion, how the religion was founded.
It's interesting. You know, John Wycliffe in the late 1300s did the first Bible in Middle English, the Wycliffe Bible. That sort of sparked, that was a pre-Reformation. And then after Luther did his thing, you know, and you had Zwingli in Switzerland, Calvin in France, then after that, Robert Tyndale, Tyndale's Bible translation became prominent, and that's where they get a lot of their work that they did the King James off of, was Tyndale's But it all started with somebody saying, I'm going to push against the system. I'm going to let the common people read this.
What about the Geneva Bible? Do you know anything about that?
Is that the one? I'm not as well versed on that one.
You know, John Knox in Scotland, too. That was, you know, trialed by your peers. The kings and queens weren't exempt from the law. That came about through there. What, right. Queen Mary of Scotland, when they tried her.
Yeah, so the Geneva Bible was about 50 years or so before the King James. Shakespeare actually used that one. But it's interesting that back then the clergy were like the rock stars of the time. They were the ones that had the hidden knowledge. Everybody looked up to them, and there was something mysterious about them because they had this hidden knowledge because the regular person couldn't read the Bible in Latin. And all of that was kind of taken down really fast. And those walls of partition broken down. And the people began to realize that the church as an entity was just manipulating them and wasn't even teaching things that were fully biblical.
Right.
So, yeah. Very fast. March in history.
Marsburg is the town I was trying to think of. But the Catholics don't read the Bible now anyway, still. Because I know Catholics, and they don't even think they have a Bible at home. Just go by what the preacher says.
Another group that's kind of like that is the Amish and the Mennonites, mostly the Amish. And I respect their lifestyle and, you know, their morality and all that. But a lot of the common Amish people don't even know the Bible. They just go off of what they're taught, you know, by the bishops. So,
well, they're basically Germans, or were Germans.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. The Amish and Mennonites exercise basically national socialism. I mean, they're a group of Germans. They're largely one ethnic group that marry within their, you know, their own people. As a matter of fact, they have to travel state to state so their kids can marry off and not marry to close relatives. And they combine all their money. You know, if someone goes to the doctor, it comes out of the pool. Or if someone needs something, it comes out of the pool of money. It's a very fascinating lifestyle. I'm not knocking them for that. I would knock them because they don't know their own Bible, though. You really shouldn't believe.
Yeah, the Mormons are kind of that way, too. You know, they're married within Mormonism.
I would classify Mormons as a whole different religion other than Christianity.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Have a good night.
Coming up on the break now, we'll have Mike on the other side, and we'll discuss more things of this nature. Have a fun night.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Memory, your limelight is burning hose. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Follow the breeze, just like a summer song. And stay there forever, I try to remember. Come home. Memory, you gave
Welcome back to In Plain Sight. It's your Monday night broadcast, and kind of opening the table up for all discussions. Got Mike in Kentucky next. Mike, welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Well, I knew kind of a hippie wannabe that was older than me, but too young to be a hippie, and they saw a copy of my 2001 Space Odyssey that a cousin had given me back when I was a grade schooler in the 70s. I don't think 2001 Space Odyssey did that well in the theaters. And so it ended up on TV a few times. And it was fairly heavily edited, especially the end sequence, which is like some kind of a hippie acid trip thing. I could imagine, you know, back in the, what was it, 68 or 69, whenever that was actually in the theaters. Movies used to stay in the movie house for a lot longer back then. Not everybody, you know. So I can imagine a lot of hippies going, oh, man, you need to drop some acid and go see, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's pretty wild. It's trippy. But
before you go, a really quick comment on that. I was really impressed, you know, looking back, now that I've grown up watching CGI movies since the 90s, right? I was really impressed with the optical effects in Space Odyssey. And for 1968, and I can tell it's where like Star Wars and all the different space movies after that sort of took their cue from. It was very good for the time. And isn't it interesting, Mike?
Walking on back, because that was it was in production for quite a while. I'm saying those techniques were developed for the green screen and getting rid of the whatever the strings and fake anti-gravity, like that one. There was a ink pen I think they had floating at one point in the air, you know. So, you know, there was some neat.
Well, what I was going to mention, Mike, real quick, is that that's the year before the moon, the alleged moon landing.
Sure.
And so there was actually theories that Kerbuk helped, you know, with the staging of the moon landing and the production of that. And they admit that to television production.
Yeah, there's a lot to know about Stanley Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke, of course. Like I said, this hippie wannabe woman that was a little bit older than me, she knew about Arthur C. Clarke, and I didn't know he ended up in Sri Lanka because of his proclivity for boys. He liked the young boys. And she kind of made excuses for him in that he was providing for their education and stuff when they got too old for him to be interested in them anymore. I'm like, you're kidding me. And so this was way before the internet, so I had no way to look up what she was saying, and I don't even know how she knew about it. But it turns out, though, I think when you were talking about, I don't know where you're getting the idea of Arthur C. Clarke talking about the transhumanism. From, I had to read the book to get the ending of the movie is completely just, you know, you don't understand what's going on in the end of the movie. Like I said, it's kind of like an acid trip. But what I think the rebirth of this infant at the end is humanity becoming more consciously aware of our place in the universe, I think, is the poetry going on there. Because what he discovers is that there is a larger civilization or entity that was watching over the earth, and they introduce humanity to this network of tubes to travel around the universe or the galaxy. That's what he means when he says it's full of stars. It's a pathway to travel around the universe, you know, shortcuts like wormholes or something. But in 2010, the process gets completed, and Jupiter becomes a star. And the Europa is a new world like the Earth, and we are forbidden from going there because there's new life forms there that are to be left alone.
And well, that's where the transhumanism comes in there. So first of all, for those not familiar, in 2001, A Space Odyssey, one of the astronauts that survives the Odyssey, because the Odyssey supercomputer, HAL, killed the other astronauts.
Yeah, the Discovery. You mean the Discovery. The spaceship was called the Discovery. Yeah, HAL was artificially intelligent, but none of the people were integrated with the machine.
But in 2010,
that's what you meant. But
in 2010, you had HAL's persona transferred into a star child, like the one at the end of Space Odyssey. Because what happens in 2001, the astronaut.
I missed that.
At the end of 2001, the surviving astronaut deactivates HAL and travels in a pod through the wormhole. And that's where all the psychedelic stuff happens in the movie. And he makes it to the aliens, and the aliens keep him in this room that's set up like a neoclassical hotel room. And he accelerates rapidly in age, like he ages to an old man. And as he dies, he becomes the star child. So they advanced him to the next level of humanity, just like in the next movie, they advanced HAL, the computer, into like his next level. And so that's where the transhumanism comes in. They were pushing it back then. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought you meant like integrating our brains with electronics like Elon Musk wants to do, or some of these people want to, you know, give us interfaces to where we can interface directly with computers. I thought you meant that was the transhumanism, and I'm like, I didn't see that anywhere in the movie. The higher state of consciousness thing, I get, you know. But Arthur C. Clarke, you know, he was supposedly the one that invented the concept of the Clark Belt, the geosynchronous satellites out 23,400 miles or whatever, so that they stay stationary over top of the a particular area of the planet, but it doesn't work. They have to constantly be repositioned because the sun and the moon tug on them and wobble them around all the time. But he invented that concept. That's actually named after him, the Clark Belt. But you know, a lot of people don't realize the guy was a bit of a pedophile, apparently, And the connection there to Stanley Kubrick I wanted to make was the Eyes Wide Shut movie with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, and he died after that. You know, it was kind of weird. He never got to finish the movie. You've seen that, Kubrick, right?
Kubrick died after that, or before
the movie, right? Before they could finish the edit. I think the studio or some of his production crew had to finish the edit of the movie because he died before it could be finished, Eyes Wide Shut. But he also produced another movie that is, it was innovative in the use of candlelight, and he got his connections to NASA. He got the camera, the Hasselblad, however you pronounce that, German camera, was able to film in such a low light that because of his connections to NASA, he was able to get that camera to make that movie. And it's I think it's a famous, it's a fairly well-known scene of a dinner at candlelight, a whole crew of like Elizabethan people around a candlelit table, and it's actually the whole scene is lit with candles, and he had to use that NASA camera in order to film it. So a lot of people have, like you said, you brought that up, that the connection here with NASA, that maybe he was used to film some of that stuff to stage the moon landing in case they needed it.
Now, I'm just thinking about a person watching that movie in 1968. I mean, it's very realistic looking now, even watching it now. And back then, I'm sure it mesmerized them. And
when you think about,
I would say that was true. He probably did help NASA.
Think about all around the world, though, these people that probably think Americans have this technology because they go and see it in a movie, you know, and they're in some third world country and they're like, whoa, Americans have got warp drive. They're, you know, Star Trek in the 60s was probably quite realistic to a lot of people because they were watching it on antenna TV, which was not even full 480, you know, low resolution stuff. It didn't look even as good as some bad YouTube videos, but they were, you know, they were watching it on a 19-inch TV, and you couldn't see, you know, that part of the set was made out of spray-painted plywood. I mean, you couldn't really see some of the flaws in the special effects. And of course, they just like with Star Wars, they have reproduced those with newer special effects. And it's hard to find the old original stuff from even 1977 Star Wars or the original Star Trek has all been CGI updated. And I watch it sometimes on a network called on a TV antenna, digital antenna. Heroes and Icons is running the classic Star Trek series, and you can see a big difference in the stuff that they have CGI upgraded versus the original special effects that still are there that they haven't messed with. But the thing that I wanted to chime in on, though, was that Arthur C. Clarke his views of the world. You have to filter that through his lens of his proclivities. And Sri Lanka put up with him. I guess he went there and he was fairly rich, so he could get away with that there. I was shocked to find that out, but I
didn't know that either. I remember Sri Lanka was Duran Duran filmed Hungry Like the Wolf.
Oh, really?
They just showed up and started filming. And like, so all the scenes where these brown people living, you know, they're like surprised at what's going on, where the one dude in Duran Duran flips the table over Simon, whatever, in the bar. I mean, everybody was shocked. I mean, that they really did that stuff. They just set up and filmed. Didn't even get...
Well, Richard Gere, did you remember him getting in trouble for kissing that actress on stage, surprised her and gave her a big smooch on stage? India does not go for those public displays of affection like that. That's not allowed in any of their movies. So it makes me want to go back and watch Duran Duran and see what else that they should have got arrested for. I did not know they filmed it there.
The third world and technology, here's what's fascinating. And I think the third world is a lot more tuned in than what we think, because almost everybody has one of these smartphones, and they're just as sophisticated as we have. I've seen reels and videos that people in India have made, and they're living in slapped together board and mud huts and walking on mud, and they're filming these intricate videos with their smartphone. I think that's one of the goals of 5G. You know, that's the purpose of 5G. Maybe there's other nefarious purposes, but to get the entire globe on one of these devices and brainwash them.
Right now, it's over 4.5 billion people, and they developed the capacity. You think about it, they don't let us have this technology unless they can police it. So the capacity to record every one of these devices and keep it, retain the data for 5, 6, 7 years for the entire planet, like you mentioned earlier, I think it was you that mentioned it, the ridiculous amount of electricity they're using on these server farms. You know, just one of these, that a buddy of mine out of North Carolina runs a jewelry shop, said that the newspaper that talked about the Googleplex complex that they'd put in the server farm was 30,000 homes worth of electricity for that one server farm. And you look at Bluffdale, it uses 6.5 million gallons of water a month, you know, to cool the servers. You know, they keep building them. There's one in San Antonio. I don't know if it's been finished yet. They took out a 36-hole golf course on Fort Meade in order to put in a big server farm there. And so while they want us to drive electric cars and, you know, be miserly with our carbon emissions, they're keep building these monster facilities to record everybody's data for X key score. And another one that hardly gets mentioned is called IC Reach. So look into that, the Ant catalog, anybody that's interested in it, and you'd be shocked about how long they've been doing this. Another Tom Cruise movie, Valkyrie, in Fromm's office, the Army general reaches over and he's got a quick disconnect for his telephone that's sitting on the desk because he doesn't want the Nazi SS to hear their conversation. So he reaches over and clicks it, and that's like 1943, because he knows that the damn phone on the hook can be listening into the room audio when you think you've got some privacy. So he reaches over and cooks it. So, you know, the spying and blackmail, the Jeffrey Epstein type stuff, that's way before we even thought of it. You know, America was innocent. Most of us were innocent to the idea that this kind of stuff was keeping our government in control, keeping people from going, quote, off the ranch. And then that the Secrecy Act, the Technology Secrecy Act, I think was passed in like 1951, where they can just take anybody's invention, if it's a threat to current technology, they sequester it. Maybe you get paid for it, maybe you don't. You know, that's another one that really, you know, shows that there's a lot of protected turf politically and economically that keeps us from prosperity, keeps us from having prosperity.
They're doing this, as you say, in climate change, just blow that to the wind and use all of these resources, right, to get smartphones in everybody's hands. It's to collect data, but it's also to hack human beings in the very Noah Harari type way. Not only are they collecting data on you and know more about you than you do, but they're also like programming people. They're programming, especially these third worlders. And it appeals to them because it's a way for them to transcend. Here we go with this transcendence, right? They can transcend their poverty-stricken existence and come into this world online, and they're actually being programmed.
Well, this year, there's I think four companies now that first being offered, I think, to first responders, police, fire, you know, ambulance. They're going to be able to have a satellite-based cell phone. Now, you have to kind of use it like the old Nextel walkie-talkie mode, you know, over, because there's a 31 or 71-second millisecond delay. Anyway, the satellite will reach everywhere. There'll be no more escaping cell phone signal.
I think we're on the break.
Yeah, I hear the music. Well, anyway, thanks for taking my call. I'm just watching the clock here.
All right. back on the other side.
Thanks. Bye.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Good. Back to the conclusion of In Plain Sight. And just talking about fall, AI, transhumanism, had a great discussion with Mike. And I wanted to finish up with one of my favorite childhood movies by Disney in 1983. This was just before Igor and the Jews took over Disney. It's called Something Wicked This Way Comes, based on the Ray Bradbury novel from 1962. The novel's a lot better, by the way, but the movie was decent. It just reminds me of being a kid. I like to watch it. But it's in this whole theme of humans wanting to escape their misery, and in this case, old age. They're willing, you know, by being willing to give up themselves to transcend into the next level. This carnival comes to a small town in the 1930s, and it has the ability to grant people their deepest wish and let them escape whatever misery they're in. And in return, their soul belongs to the carnival. Two young boys discovered this, and they're trying to blow the lid on it. And so the owner of the carnival, Mr. Dark, is seeking after them. He wants their souls. The overall theme of the movie, though, is the relationship being restored between a father and son. The father is an old man. He had this son late in life, and his 13-year-old son is disconnected from him. And during the movie, the father becomes the hero and actually defeats the carnival and wins the love of his son back. I wanted to play a quick clip, Julie, if you have that, This is a confrontation of the owner of the carnival, Mr. Dark, played by Jonathan Pryce, confronting the old dad, the old man, who's fighting against the carnival, and that's played by Jason Robards. Let's play that clip, Julian. That'll run us to the end.
I know who you are. You are the Autumn People. Where do you come from? The dust. Where do you go to? The grave.
Yes. We are the hungry ones. Your torments call us like dogs in the night. And we do feed. And feed well.
To stuff yourselves on other people's nightmares.
And butter our plain bread with delicious pain. So, you do understand a little.
You are known in this town. My father knew you.
Your father? The preacher? That half man?
You'd have done goodness.
Tasteless fare. Funerals. Bad marriages. Lost loves. Lonely beds. That is our diet. We suck that misery and find it sweet. We search for more, always. We can smell young boys ulcerating to be men 1,000 miles off. And hear a middle-aged fool like you groaning with midnight despairs from halfway around the world. Your books cannot hurt me, old man. Yes, old. Because your heart is old. Listen to it. You tell me where the boys are hiding, and I can make you young again. I could turn your years back for you to, let's say, 30. And speak, or you've missed it.
All right, that's the end of the show. The carnival has a means of granting your wish, in this case, becoming young again, if only you'll give your soul up to it. We'll be back tomorrow night with Patrick and Jeremy. Show you guys stay classy. RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race. They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you